Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat to create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Woohoo! Hey everyone, welcome. Great to be here with all of you. Welcome guests in the chat. See lots of callers on the in the queue, which is great. If you do want to call in, that number is 347-539-5122 and press 1 on your keypad. That lets me know that you want to chat, have something to say, and not just listening by phone. Hi, everyone listening via iTunes and the archives. You know who you are. You're special to us. And I want to say hi to everybody else listening from the other podcast outlets, Player FM, TuneIn, and the other ones. There's so many now, right? Love it. If you're having trouble getting in the chat, please refresh your browser. If that doesn't work, go ahead and reboot the browser. Okay, everyone in the queue, please press 1. Don't walk away from your phone without pressing 1 so that I know you have a question or a comment. Sometimes people walk away and then I'm like going, hello, hello, you're on air, and they don't answer. All right, it's Wisdom Wednesday and Wacky Wednesday. Do I sound a little out of it? Okay, I had trouble getting my mic to connect to my phone. I actually call in by my phone, so low tech these days. And it wouldn't do it, so I'm blessing Mercury retrograde. Who else is having some retrograde stuff happening? Let me know. All right, some of you know the drill. First half of the program, I answer questions, email questions, do a little chat and a tune in, and also answer callers' questions as well. So, by the way, if you do want to keep up to date, keep connected with me, join me in my social media at Michelle Meshe. That's M-I-C-H-E-L-E, Meshe, M-E-I-C-H-E. And if you want to get on the list, know what's happening monthly. I do an energetic forecast and psychic forecast. You can do that by going to awakeningspodcast@gmail.com and getting on that list. Or go to my soulplayground.life and you can sign up there. And it comes right in your inbox. So in a couple of weeks, we have a couple great teleworkshops coming up. Envision. I'm going to bring it back. A lot of people have asked me, will I bring back my manifesting teleworkshop? And we get down. We have a great time. We go within. It's all about going within and getting that clarity and marinating in the subtle energy to begin to open up to, receive, and draw in what you want. Chances are, if you want something in your life badly enough, it's coming from a soul level. You know what I mean, that yearning, burning. I'm going to do it right now. where you can just feel it. That means it is there on the etheric plane. That's the deal. That's why I love working metaphysically. So if you're feeling it, it's palpable, and it's really on your mind, that means it's on the etheric plane. So it's about getting things aligned. So, Tamara in the chat. Yay, I got in. Only took 20 tries. Good old Merc Retro. I had to keep getting, you know, I couldn't get the mic aligned. So welcome. If you've been having trouble, keep trying. It's like life, persistent effort, keep trying. I'm also will be doing, I think it's April 14th is the Liberate Your Life, clearing that one core belief. Life-changing, got to tell you. If I do say so myself, I've done it. It's pretty fun, pretty amazing. And I believe the Envision is the 21st. And I think that's all we have this month. And then next month, there's some other ones coming. But anyway, okay. So if you want to know about that, awakeningspodcast@gmail.com, or go to soulplayground.life and sign up. How's that? Got it all covered. Okay, we have at the second half of the program, we're going to be talking to healer and massage therapist about the belly, getting into the belly. Well, that's the third chakra. That's the grounding. That's the one we're all been working on, that emotional body coming through there, the Hara Center. So it'll be interesting to talk with her. She's going to be calling in from England, I believe. So we'll be chatting with her. Okay, callers waiting on the line. Hold on. I got a couple of questions, email questions. I did want some people to ask about talking about Mercury retrograde, but let me just get to this. Let's see. Ooh, which one first? Okay, let's go. This one's from Kate. And hello, Earthbound Sense. Your reading suggestions for us have been so on point. Do you have any gems in mind for learning about the elementals? My Facebook post for me in my backyard about a week ago got you thinking. And alchemy, thank you, love and light. I'm actually going to be covering a lot of this in my Modern Mysticism teleworkshop because, you know, I can only dive in so far with this format. But the element, you know, the thing to look at is, and we know this, those of you that have, you know, studied or been a part of any of the what they call more earthed religions or philosophies, like Wicca, that we are, and metaphysically and also as a spiritualist, we recognize that we are, you know, all different forms of each other. One of my metaphysical teachers used to say, that person has that path, you know, whoever you're inquiring about has that path, so you don't have to. You know, in other words, we're all carrying a piece. And those of you that have done any workshops with me, I've talked about that, especially when I've done my shamanic ones, and we look at that. When we come together, each of us has a piece for the other, and that piece, P-I-E-C-E, brings us P-E-A-C-E in wholeness. When we recognize that, sometimes that which we are most resisting is something we need to either look at within ourselves, perhaps bring some awareness and healing to, you know, and sometimes it's also something we need to integrate, you know, or we see, ooh, am I that way? Am I that, you know, I had that the other day and I thought, oh God, I can be that way, you know? So, but sometimes it's a positive projection too. It's not all about negative projection and seeing what you have within you. Sometimes there are the positive attributes that either you have or are underdeveloped or you need to develop. So there's that as well. So elementals, as well as, you know, animal beings, ourselves, they're aspects of us. We're aspects of them playing out in this multi-universe or universes, right? We'll talk about this one right now. So connecting with the elementals requires, it's like reading an aura. It requires being very tuned in, and you're going to miss it if you're moving, you're going to miss them if you're moving too quickly or too abrasive. They're, you know, guardians of life, guardians of the greenery, of the plants, little living being, little fairies, little, some people say, oh, it's kind of imagination. No, not really. They do exist. So if you want to connect with them, you need to be in nature. That's where they live, you know, the little sprites and elementals. And they put, when you connect with the elementals, even if you just go in your garden, this is why people feel so much peace in the garden. You know, obviously also the living green healing ray is of light is there. There's a, you know, preponderance of that, because that living green healing ray is the green ray of light, which manifests in life through the chlorophyll, the green pigment. And it is a very balancing, nurturing energy, just like the sun. Like we feel, you know, nurtured when we're in the sun. You know, we're laying down and it's like, oh gosh, it feels so good with the sun on my back, you know. As long as it's not too hot, I guess, right? So very similar. So if you want to connect with the elementals, just get quiet you know, sit in the grass, sit by your plants, you know, go to a park. Of course, if you're in the forest, you know, very much more easy to see. And sometimes you'll see little iridescent lights, sometimes orbs. Sometimes you just get a feeling of a warm presence, or they'll bring a sense of renewal, of peace, of interconnectedness, of kind of also just laying around, you know. They're usually around areas where there's a lot of hummingbirds as well, you know. And if you do see a hummingbird, I saw I was out of town for the long weekend, and oh my gosh, so many elementals and so many hummingbirds around, just fluttering owls, a woodpecker that didn't start pecking too early, so that was kind of nice. But talk about a wonderful meditation, hearing the little woodpecker. So beautiful. You know, and it really requires slowing down. You know, a lot of people ask me about, oh, trusting my intuition, or what should I do, Michelle? You have to consciously slow down. You have to consciously pause. It doesn't have to be for a specific amount of time. It more frequently through the day, just 30 to 40 second pauses, just like I'm doing right now. It doesn't have to be a long time. We have to get it out of our head that there is this time frame all, you know, that's got to be 10 minutes, 50 minutes. When, you know, a lot can happen in consciousness, you know. Spirit works in a holy instant or to the 11th hour. So I hope that helps. I will be diving more into this if you have any specific questions on this. And alchemy, the blending, boy, I can really dive into this. We do live alchemically. Everything affects us. Everything is, you know, they say like everything is a drug in a sense. Everything affects our body-mind system and therefore our consciousness, just like consciousness affects everything. So when you are doing ingesting things that are too toxic, too many toxins, I mean, you need a little toxicity that keeps the immune system up, right? But not to levels that it's toxic, I guess I should say. Or too toxic. But if you, you know, that's what they say, like little kids eating a little dirt, that's not so bad, right? Because you build up the immune system. So it's always better to have that strength. But alchemy looks at, in a way, what is the missing piece? What is the element? And as you get to know yourself, again, it goes back to the intuition. I was a part of I led the meditation, and we had a wonderful ritual for spring and releasing and seeing what do we want to draw in. And the women that hosted, a very powerful, aligned women, very artistic and spiritually connected and really living from their soul, very inspirational. Anyway, they did a wonderful, created this wonderful template, beautiful circle and a place for us to convene, and I did the meditation, did the subtle energy meditation there. Just amazing. But each one, as like I said, is bringing a piece, is bringing a part. That's that alchemy. And when you understand that, like we were doing elixirs, and there was a gold elixir and there was a silver, and I kind of tuned in and I realized, I heard gold, you really need the gold. You guys, it's this simple. It's just we don't listen. I'm listening. I'm working more on trusting myself for myself. Some things that I see that are going to happen for me, I go, I can't believe it. Not for me. I don't know. It's so weird. But I see it so clearly for other people. Like I had told one of the women months ago, probably 3-4 months ago, and I didn't know her, but I had been doing readings. I think it was in January. And I saw her moving, and she didn't really want to move. And I said, well, I think it's going to be your choice, but I do see a move. And then I got there, and we were talking, and she said, oh, yeah, because I moved. I said, oh, my God, you were right. And I go, I get these confirmations. So what I invite you to do is look in your life right now, what you're working on. What are you able to do for others, or how are you able to help others or give others inspiration or insight? And that's where your learning is. How are you doing it for you? And by the way, I love it. And I'm going to say you should love it too. It's like growing and seeing where our blind spots are. It's kind of cool, you know, with these same women, we were talking about something I was going through with like thoughts round in my mind and, you know, my not believing. And then I get these confirmations and, you know, and they're like, oh, and you're so, you have the show and you're, you know, like so advanced. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm still here. I still have my stuff I'm working on. And I love it more. It doesn't make me feel less than. And one of the women, Amy, I think she was, said, oh, that's what everybody goes through. Everybody goes through what you're talking about. And I'm like, well, gosh darn, I am human. So I feel like the more we get more enlightened, more awake and more aware and live from that place, we do get more human. We get a little more messy, a little more piglety. We get more earthed, actually. That's the whole thing that a lot of these indigenous cultures realized. And shamanically, living between both worlds, you begin to see that spirit is manifested physically. Material is spiritual. Everything is consciousness. Everything. And they used to think, oh, inanimate objects aren't consciousness. No, it is. It all is. It's just taking different shape and form. So I want to say celebrate your mistakes, your foibles. Celebrate that and go, oh, my God, I'm doing this human thing. I'm getting a little messy here, a little piglety. That's an alchemy in itself. You know, alchemists, we do work with the archetypal energy as well. And, of course, we know that it came from, I guess, the old English, old French, right, to transmute. It's about transmutation and transformation. It's taking the base of something less than and making it more and more ideal, which nature does itself. You know, it's an alchemical process that there is a plant that sprouts or there's a seedling that falls from the tree that goes into the earth. Germinates, sprouts, then has its own growth. It gets to a certain level. The leaf drops, right? Or the bloom, it blooms, blossoms, and then the petals fall to the ground, and then they become, you know, earthed again, right? They go into the soil, they become earthed. You know, they dry. So when, as an alchemist, when you study alchemy, which is a form of, you know, traditional metaphysics, you learn to see not your own cycles, nature cycles, and where you fit in, and what do you need. That's what the alchemist is saying. What do I need to take this nickel and to mix it and make it into gold? You know, do I need the purification of silver? I have something that's lead. How do I transmute it? How do I change it? How do I transform it? So you're working with this transformative energies within yourself, within your situation, within your circumstances. You understand that there's a process to everything. Things don't go from A to C. There's B. There's a middle ground. And you are aware of that and you work with that process. But you're changing form. You're shifting. You're changing energy, the quality of energy. There's a recalibration. There's a requalifying. You're changing the energetic form of something, of yourself or circumstance, and you know what's needed. If you walk into a room, an alchemist can see what and feel, what is the energy that I feel and see here, right? What's going on here? Oh, there's a lot of tension. There's a lot of stress. Well, then I don't come in pushing my point of view, maybe I need to listen first. So when you are an alchemist, when you study alchemy, and I will go over this in my deeper in the modern mysticism series, you read energy within yourself, within the situation, within the circumstance, within other people, and you're able to apply. This is why we call it applied metaphysics. You understand what to apply to any situation. Ooh, I wasn't looking at the chat. Let's see what's going on here. Tamara's saying a hummingbird's very special. Feel your mother's presence. Oh, I love this. I'm wondering if the piece of the next big shift, using intuition for others is one thing, but being able to trust applying it to ourselves in deeper ways coming through. I feel so. Yes, I do. It's interesting. Like I got a message of some things that are happening. You know, when you get bits and pieces, but I do feel our navigation system, and sometimes, here's what I want to share with you guys too. Sometimes you get out of it, like I remember, like, when I lived in England, when I was modeling a lot and traveling a lot, and, you know, I was really using my tools, my navigation, inner GPS for myself. And certain things I can see. Like the other day, I was supposed to be shooting something on this Friday, and I felt this space and this, like, disconnect. I thought something's going to happen, or we're not going to do it, or it's not going to be as regular as they want it to be. And I need to be open because there's something else that's going to come in for me. And sure enough, late last night, I get a message that they're taking a long weekend, so I'm not going to be shooting Good Morning La La Land on Friday. And at the same time, that was fine. It was totally divine right timing, and I got it. And then I'm like, okay, but you guys got to, you know, let me know ahead of time because I've got a busy schedule. So a fulfilled schedule, I like to put it that way, actually. So, yes, yeah, so it's positive, but you guys, the only way to do this is in the you have to allow the space. If your life is so crammed, whether it's worried thoughts in your mind or it's so crammed with activity that you're not allowing the space, and everyone can take a few minutes here, a few minutes there to just pause or not have to act on something so quickly, you know, do your due diligence, put things in order, but allow the pause. That allows for that inner guidance to come in. That allows you to align. And I do believe, Tamara, like what you're saying in the chat, I do believe that that is our next step, is living more from this place, not just in session, not just special occasions, not just for certain situations, but continually using it to navigate. One last email question, then I'm going to get to Kala. We've got to get to Ernie. Thank you. Aloha, Michelle. I love your radio show on Wednesdays, and I think you're awesome. Thank you, Ernie. I usually work when it's on, but always look forward to listening to the recorded show when I get home that day. Since I'm unable to ask questions live on Wednesdays, I was wondering if I could ask you a couple questions in email. One is general. Let's go. Aha, this is a goodie. For those of you who are single and awakening, is it a better idea to look for a partner who is also in the awakening journey? Does it matter, and would there be better chances of a relationship working? Here's what I can say on this. Having come old school with all the, I believe in visioning, I believe in writing things for sure down. Even some, you know, mind mapping, or, you know, doing a vision board, or I learned back in 92, I guess, a vision book, which I like that better, where you read, and to talk about alchemy, you put the images on the left page and then you write out what it is that you want on present tense so that you're getting right and left brain and you meditate on that. However, here's what I have to say. Your higher self, that inner GPS, will guide you to the best relationships for you. So chances, if you're awakening or living more awake, that's what you're going to get in some version or form. And I would say always look at values, principles, and beliefs. That's because we're Earth. We're earthy here. We're Earth, right? You got to have some common sense, you know. You can have an amazing soul connection, you know, intertwining, or amazing spiritual connection. But if you guys aren't aligned with your values, principles, and beliefs, have some similar values enough, and your principles and your beliefs and what you want in your life, it's and how you want to live and where you want to live, it's not going to work. And traveling is the best thing. If you can take a trip with someone and you get along and you have fun, that says a lot. If you can talk hours and share stuff, that is a lot. Love is a gift. I've learned that over the years. A little slow in that department, I am. Other people have gotten that a lot sooner. But if you get that love relationship, and that's in friendships too. Those deep relationships where there's a wonderful connecting, and so wonderful connecting that you can hear their truth about you, and they can hear your truth about them. In other words, they can be truthful and honest with you. And you can mess up, you know. But I would say sometimes as empaths and light workers definitely can get people that are not as clear or want to awaken or think they're awakening. But there's a lot of drama, a lot of trouble, you know, and a lot of the same issues over and over that don't transmute and transform. Then that's telling you you're getting a wound mate, and, you know, the growth is for you. Why are you attracting this, and how can you use this energy in a more positive or life-enhancing way, right? So you're not here to take care of people unless that's what you're choosing to do. You know, and so I would say focus on just be out, do things that are expressive for your soul. Get out, express more, do more of what you love to do, and be open and contemplate, daydream about the qualities of people that you want and the quality of the life situation that you want, the environment you want to be in. What are the activities that you want to do? Obviously, start doing those yourself. I wrote an article on Mind Body Green, and it's still there, Mind Body Green, and you can just do a search of me. But it was based on soulmates, and it was how to attract a soulmate that is a life mate. And I go very clearly on how to recognize that soulmate that can be a life mate. Because, again, we have so many soulmates that come into our life, and we come into their lives, we come into each other's lives. But not every soulmate is meant to be a life mate or life partner. You know, they might be friends. You might be friends. You might be platonic friends. You might be business associates. It might be a fleeting relationship. The life mate is very consciously saying, hey, let's do this. You know, let's get messy and mucky in the earth plane, and let's do this love thing. Let's do this relationship thing, you know, love in action, love through another person in the container of a sacred sexual, whatever, could maybe not sexual, I don't know, whatever you guys are into, you know, whatever the person's into. So I hope that helps. And I would say look for a partner. It's about drawing in that partner. It's about magnetizing that being to you, being in that kind of situation. Definitely look out, be open, and see. And I would say, be open to dating a lot of people. Be open to just opening more to life, opening to love, just open to love and sharing that love and see who comes in. And hopefully you draw in someone courageous enough to do love, because love is no joke. You know, love is no joke. It's going to put you up and down, but it's worth it. What else are you going to be doing here? You know, and trust me, I know as a shaman and as a bereavement counselor, you know, you guys have heard me say this on the program before. I've never met anybody that I've worked with on their deathbed or the family members that talked about their business, how much money they made, or even the films they made or did. They all talked about the relationships, the great experiences they had, the memories. But they were all based, even if they created the most amazing business or, you know, created the best, you know, hospital wing and help children and this and that, that's not what they remembered. They remembered the relationships while they were doing that. So get messy, Ernie. I love it. Then Ernie's saying, and I got you, that I've been slowly awaking and haven't even been in a relationship in 10 years. Inside, I'm hearing it's because I would have got in the way of my awakening journey. Maybe not. Sometimes we're healing. Sometimes we are, you know, we've had some ouchies, you know, that are so painful that we go in, even consciously or subconsciously, not going there right now, not going there again. And sometimes it's a timing. Let's see. Do you know which is true? And he's saying that the awakening journey, I may still be asleep now if I'd found a girlfriend. I can't clearly tell if it's my ego. I think it's your ego, Ernie. Get in a meditative state. You know, because a lot of times we awaken more in relationship. We awaken more in that one-on-one relationship, that intimate relationship, whatever, boyfriend, girlfriend, 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 boyfriend, boyfriend, house, you know, husband, wife, wife, husband, husband, whatever the gig is, right? We actually have the potential in conscious relationship to awaken even more and go and really go deep. That's what I meant to. Really go deep. If you find that, whoa, if you can do the external, the career, the friends, elite, all of it, and then go deep. You know, but and that intimacy, though, begins with you. Can you go deep with yourself? Can you love yourself when you blow it? You do something, you go, oh, my God, what did I do? Oh, my God, I can't believe I said that or I did that. When you can start laughing at your wounding and kind of go, wow, that's a human thing, you're actually becoming more advanced. So I would say the more that you're able to do that, the more you'll draw that in with maybe it's family, maybe it, but friends. That needs to be a requirement. That's a requirement with me, with the friends that I have. They have to be able to be honest with me, call me on my stuff, and I have to be able to be honest with them. And I remember years ago telling one of my friends something that they were doing. I said, I finally said, I can't hear this anymore. It's just too painful the way you're hurting yourself. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And, you know, they did the behavior. You know, they stopped after a while. But I just couldn't go there anymore. I mean, I can't hear stories and stories without me saying something. And I think that's how it should be. It's kind of like the bartender at the bar that calls the person off, you know, said, hey, buddy, you've had too much to drink. Have some tea or coffee now. Drink some water or you got to leave the bar. So sometimes we got to tell the person, you got to leave the bar of marinating in the victimhood. You got to leave that. You got to leave that stuff because we're all going to have problems. That's the thing. Someone told me a few months ago how bad their life is. And you know, and this person has amazing woman in their life that really loves them, and they get along. The relationship is amazing, and they could just be flying right now. But this person wants to be stuck in a limiting world, okay? If you are lucky enough, blessed enough, whatever it is, for some people it's the great job. Some people it's the great hobby. Some people it's the great gift, you know, like, there's going to be problems on the earth plane. There's going to be bad patches. But you want to self-punish yourself and say, oh, because I'm going through such a bad time in my life, I can't be in relationship. I can't commit. I can't, you know, be intimate. I can't, you know, it's like, well, good luck. Wait till everything's perfect. And then, I guess, only be with somebody that you can be there in perfect times, right? So I think sometimes people on the path, a conscious path, sometimes think I have to be perfect before I meet somebody or draw someone in. No, you have to be wherever you are. I just posted on my Facebook page and also in the Awakenings community group, I posted a video that goes into this actually. You're perfect where you are. It may not feel perfect. It may not be ideal. But what's kind of judgment is that, that you don't deserve relationship because of where you're at? You know, and I've done it both ways. Back in the day, I've jumped in, jumped out. You know, I waited. I did the therapy, you know, and waited. It doesn't matter. You have to do with what is of integrity for you in that moment. But doesn't guarantee. You can wait and do all the therapy and still have stuff to work on or not find somebody after that. Or you could be as messy as hell and find the love of your life. You have to trust the intuition. The one that's trying to make the formula is the ego. What's Tamara saying? Welcome, guest. What else? All right, so we get to call us. Let's see. 256-473, you're on air.
Hi, how are you? My name is Kimberly.
Hey, Kimberly, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's your question? You're so welcome.
Well, my question was about, you were talking about soulmates and you were talking about the womb mate. And I think that I was with a womb mate for a while. And I'm healing from that and I've been going to therapy. And I'm just wondering, like, what is my next step when it comes to romance?
Ooh, let's look at that. Okay, the first thing I heard is be open to it and know that you deserve it. So I'm going to give you guys all a little and you here, Kimberly, because I got stumped too. It's hard to admit, like it's like, but it's true. I've got to be honest. We're all friends here. I one time got stumped. I thought for sure this is my soul. It was a soulmate, and they still are. There's still the love is there. There's a great connection, but the person also happens to be borderline. some there's a spectrum. So, you know, some you can deal with, some not. And if the wound mate is going now, here's the deal: all relationships are going to bring up, you know, your wound is going to come up. You know, your patterning and whatever and stuff you need to heal. Okay, it's for sure going to come up.
Uh-huh.
The difference is if you find yourself going round and round and round we go, same issue, no resolve, and it's slamming you back into, you know, what happened, you know, mommy and daddy, slamming you back to sit, that's going to be a wound mate. A soulmate that can be a life partner, it's little communication things to work through. Obviously, there's always going to be something to work through individually and then as a couple. But you get resolved. And that person is handling their own stuff. It's not so heavy. You don't keep bringing up the same, you know, for a while. Okay, 6 months. You know, every so often you have issues and people have to learn and grow and work through stuff. But the wound mate keeps you in that wounding, and what binds you or keeps you together is the wounding. See, that's the difference. When you have a wound mate, right, you look and you realize in the relationship you're always working through something. You're always trying to heal something or help the other person. Does this sound familiar?
Right. Yes.
Yes. So we don't want that. I mean, you get that. The whole, if you use it wisely, it is a tool on the path. It's to say, work through this, get through the wound, and then release it. Unfortunately, usually the wound mates, when you come together, one of you usually is able to leave and get empowered.
Right.
And is that what happened?
That's exactly
you, right?
What happened.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a little cosmic something, I don't know, that we do to ourselves, that spirit does. One of them, it gets so bad that the other one leaves and goes with their and gets healed and moves on. So you kind of get with the person that's stuck. And that's their role. They're not going to go further. That's their role. That's their divine reflection this lifetime. What it is you don't want to stay stuck in that or keep repeating that. So if people aren't doing their own work or can't solve their own issues, you want to stay clear of. So, Kimberly, I want to say for you, August, September on, looks really good. May, June, in through the summer, I do feel a lot more socializing, a lot more dating. I feel like you're going to have a new group of friends around you. Does that make sense? Does that sound?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've been branching out more?
Yeah, well, I'm attempting to branch out more, yes.
Oh, good. Okay, do it. Because don't attempt, just do it. Because I do feel out of this new group, there is going to be a lovely, lovely guy for you, lovely person is there. But it's out of the branching out, and there is going to be it's new people, new friends around you. And I feel like there could be some kind of house party, like I don't know if it's a potluck or if it could be catered, I don't know. But I do see, don't worry, it's there. You're on the right path.
Okay.
And the other, just let it go. I don't see it repeating.
Exactly. Yep.
Exactly. Yes, yeah, she's ready. Yes. All right, Kimberly, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, 914-860, you're on air.
Hi, Michelle. My name is Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin. Welcome.
Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
I'm feeling the push to leave my job and really start a new chapter of my life. And I'm wondering, what does it mean for me to be able to lead a more fulfilling and a more exciting life?
Oh, I love that. We're all asking that question now. It's next level. This year, it's about next level and go big, dream big. That's what I hear for you. What I want you to do is I want you to write out, but I want you to get like, I don't know, what is it, butcher paper? Big paper, big sketchbook, something, or go get a poster board. And I want you to write out how you really want to live. This, Caitlin, I feel for you, there's a turning point this year where you are deciding to live bigger. And by that, I do mean more fulfilled. Again, just similar to the caller before, Kimberly, you know, there's always resonance and interconnecting with callers. And a lot of times what's required on a soul level is for us to get in different environments, to somehow stretch out. You have to first make that decision, make the intention to do it, and then put your attention on your intention. This is metaphysics. This is alchemy. This is the way that it works. It's all energy. So if I have an intention, I set that intention, but I have to put my attention on it, which means I have to do things in my life that are in alignment, that are putting a focus on my intention. So you do need to get out more, do more for yourself on your own. Listen, I've been rollerblading. I've been, hooping. I got a hoop. I've been hooping, which is fun, with my dance music, my EDM music. Then I've been doing poetry reading also. And I've met a wonderful, some new friends, great group of people. So I want, this is the thing that you want to do. And people always say, oh, why do I need to do that, or common sense? Because where you're at in your life is a certain energy pattern. It creates an energy pattern. You need new energy in to get you to your next level. This is why people work with a guide or a therapist, or you go at the gym, right, and you work with a trainer or whatever. It's not, you're getting that person's energy, right? Or you read a certain book, you know, autobiography or something, you watch something on TV and you get inspired. So those of you, so Caitlin, I'm speaking with you right now, but those of you that want to make changes in your life or want more, want to live bigger, you have to get out of your rut, your routine. It's not going to happen. So you have to seek out the ways to extend your energy out to draw the new energy in, and that new energy will come in through influences and people. So that's, Caitlin, where I feel that you're at right now. On some level, though, you also have to believe that you can live bigger or more fulfilled. So that's why I want you to get a big marker and get comfortable with bigger. And what that means is get comfortable with taking up more space in your life. Right?
That makes a lot of sense.
Ah, okay. Good. Yes.
Yeah, I was told that this morning by someone.
Oh, you were? Oh, so this is a bit of a confirmation.
Yeah.
Okay. Take up space. When I used to live in London, I did like a little, you know, this is how my mind works as a metaphysician and spiritualist. I'm always looking and feeling and seeing and studying myself and others and situations. And what I realized is, and you see it on the subway, I saw it in Paris, metro, you see it on the tube, people that take up a lot of space, and usually it's men, and that's culturally we're taught. Women are taught to shrink in. You know, we sit with the legs closed, wrapped, we have our purse on our, you know, our backpack or whatever, our arms are in, guys pop down, legs open, expand their shoulders back, right? And you got to crunch in.
Yeah.
All of you needing to live bigger, open, take more space. You're waiting in line. You're waiting in the queue. I don't know, at the market, at the deli, wherever you're at. Take more space. Take more space. Just get used to it. If you're in the subway, the tube, the bus, take more space. Obviously, if somebody needs to sit down, you can move it. But don't be afraid. Put your stuff to the side. I started doing that. I put my purse or my backpack or whatever I had, I put it to the side of me. I took up more space. You know, if someone needed to sit down and there was no place, then, of course, I would move it. But these kinds of things on a body level communicate to the universe, because everything is energy, that I deserve more. I deserve more space. It's okay for me to be here and take up more space. So, Caitlin, I want you to do that. I do see you creating a very much bigger, more fulfilling life for yourself. But first of all, you've got to be comfortable taking up more space, being really big here on the planet, and drawing more, you know, to you. Okay?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Good. Keep us posted. Let us know how you're doing. Do some of the things that I shared with you, and just watch the change happen. It's going to be quick. Talk to you later.
Oh, that's good to hear. Thank you, Michelle.
Bye. You're so welcome. Hi, 202-877. You're on air.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, hello,
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking our call. We have a question regarding career and possibly location change. And
okay, and what's your first name?
Oh, I'm Sonia.
Hi, Sonia. Okay.
Hi.
So who's the we?
Oh, the husband.
Yes, okay, I thought so, but I just wanted to hear it.
Yeah.
Bringing the name in.
Like,
okay, so.
Careers for
ahead.
Both of us, actually. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sonia's getting a 2-4 in here. What's
oh,
his first name?
Sorry.
Initial? That's okay.
We're together.
Yeah. Oh, cool. All right. Hey, hubby. How are you? Just give me a first name or initial as well.
Oh, for him? Well, I call him W.
Okay. That's perfect. Okay. Okay. Now, right now, I feel work around him. That makes sense. And I don't know if...
Uh-oh. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, I feel work around him more critical. So I don't know if that
mm-hmm.
means he's changing more quickly or his job is changing, or he could be losing it, moving on. I see more... Yeah. Did he... Is that what's happening?
There's a transition period, so possibly...
Okay, that's what I feel. I feel his, I look at him and I see a space. I feel like the job is either going to change so much that he wants to move on from it, or he does, or they downsize or something and he ends up, you know, losing it is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's showing major changes around him and his job, his career. That's
okay.
But he will get. But now, does he get a package or something? Because I feel like there could be a settlement or some kind of money coming to him.
Well, contract. Maybe it's like contract based.
Oh, does he? Okay, because I was just going to say. Then I see him working more consulting or contract based. So I don't know if he's doing that now, but
no.
I definitely see that he's. Okay, he's going to be.
Yeah.
And it'll be fine.
Well,
kind of why. Well, it is what it is.
Well, he's currently in contract as well, but it might be like a change in almost like a lateral move, but more independent possibly, or just like relocating totally.
I definitely see changes. I don't know if his contracts end. And because it's showing, they're showing a space, and then I do see him getting another job or another project, which is more independent, which is more contract based.
Okay.
So if he's already working contract based, it's then showing a continuation of that, is what I can say.
Okay.
You look like you're decide. I don't know if I want to say stuck or deciding between two things. So that's either coming up for you or you're deciding two ways to go.
Right. Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It's sort of a couple pathways.
Go ahead. Yes, that's what I'm
saying.
Getting. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
Yeah, so it just, things are developing, but at a snail's pace. And
I was just saying, not fast enough. Yeah.
And then other things pop up, and I feel like a lot of potential opportunities are, but, you know, it's sort of hard to say where to focus on. And then, you know, with my husband's job, we sort of do similar jobs, but there's a lot.
You're
of options,
at Sonia,
but I'm not
you're
sure
just
who to
taking,
focus on.
Well, not yet, because you don't have it yet. There's no choice until there's choice. You can push something, but, you know, it's a retrograde right now. I feel he has the changes first because you don't yet know intuitively what path to take and what to go, and you're blocked a bit. That's what I'm saying. You're feeling stuck or blocked. Mm-hmm. I would say just keep doing what you're doing now.
Okay.
somehow I feel a new path coming in for you, and it seems like it's more the close of the year, October on, is what I'm seeing. So I feel between now and then you're gonna kind of be waiting and juggling. It's like kind of standing on one foot and the other, and okay, this. You're having to, you know, kind of work it out or feel it out. Will there be a move? I feel the two of you want to move. I don't feel it's this year. I feel this year for both of you is somehow a prep year and deciding how you want to work.
Right.
You know.
This is true,
yeah. Yeah. See, in my soul entrepreneurship program, one of the things that I would share with people, and something that I did, but I learned from the business, you know, execs and people that started companies, they said, one of the things that I found this all very, very successful people, especially on a monetary level and on a lifestyle level, many things in common, but the one I want to speak to right now for you, is they all plan the end game, where they were going. See, that changes the mindset. That moves you out of worker bee status. Even if you're working, let's say somebody's a secretary, you're like, oh, I just work a regular job. Okay, but you have to see where are you going? What do you want to create? How do you want to live? And that generates not only the monetary level, but the fulfillment level. So I feel you and your husband, you need to do that. You need to say, hey, what's the end? You know, it's kind of like the 3 to 5 year thing. But how do we want to live? What kind of lifestyle? That's where you guys are at, because I do see a move. Could be more next year. I'm not feeling it right now.
Right.
But I feel your stuff has to get worked out a little bit through his changes. There's something he's saying, I don't want to do that again or work with them again or work this way again. So his
that is so true.
That's funny. Is that true?
Oh, yes. Good God.
Yeah. I can hear him saying that. So you guys are going to do it. It's just taking a little bit more time to line up. His is lining up more quickly because I feel like he's in the, oh, my God, a bee just came in. My back door is open so Yoshi can go out. There we go. Goodbye, bee. Okay, bee is about being due diligent. Goodbye. It's a wasp, actually. Okay.
Maybe a bee is a sign. All right,
Yoshi.
As a symbol.
It is a sign. Look at bee. Well, sweet things in life. But bees work independently, but also together. You know, they look up the hive, how they work collectively.
He is a worker bee. That's what I always tell him.
well, there it is. But he doesn't want to do that anymore, see?
Oh, you're right.
So that's what I'm hearing. Yeah, he doesn't want to do it anymore, and he doesn't need to. That's what you guys need to start planning.
Oh, my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah? Yeah, just start planning in a creative way of where you want to go. You know, what you want to create and what it takes to do that. I feel like you guys could so do that. I mean, you're so in the high create level. So just start talking about it and map it out, and it will happen.
Yeah, we started to do that. It's just we're not, you know, we're sort of saying, are we crazy for thinking like this, or should we just, plan it out in a 2 to 3 year timeline?
No, you're not crazy.
Is this the right thing to do? You know,
it's the right thing to do. It's because he doesn't want to work that way anymore. You don't either. You guys want to do a move. You want to do a lifestyle change. No reason that you can't. It's coming from your soul. All of this is coming from your soul. This is how the soul works. It gives us, but the ego goes, oh my God, this doesn't fit in with my programming or how my parents, whatever.
I know.
Right? But this is all about you living more from the soul. So, yes, it's not only possible, it's going to happen. And then you're going to look back and you're going to go, oh my God, we did it.
Yes. And then trying to make sure everybody else is satisfied and happy in the right place they're supposed to be with the kids and everything else. So. Yeah, it's just more people to think about than just us. So that's the bigger play and everything.
But you're the major. No, that's not true. You're the major thing. If you need to focus on what's going to set the tone and the lifestyle for you, and then everybody else can come in around that. You guys acting as a unit, everything else will fall into place.
Yes.
Okay?
Agreed.
All right,
okay.
Sonia and W, keep
Thank
us
you.
Posted. You're so
okay,
welcome.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye.
You too. Bye. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Okay, it's time for our awakening guest. If you did not get your question answered or you wanted a reading, I'm here next week, Wednesday. Call in early. Get in the queue, because we get so many, which I love, so many listeners and callers calling in. All right, we have with us Susan DeMunk, who is a massage practitioner and healer, and she's been in practice for 20 years, and she specializes in abdominal sacral massage. Ooh. Scientists are now calling the guts the second brain. I would agree with that. She works more with, it has more neurons in the brain, and the massage works on both the sacral area and your abdominal, just from under your ribs down towards pubic bone. It's a great massage to really get in touch with your feelings. Let's talk about this. Hello, Susan. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Huh? I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well.
Good. So I'm very, because I love this, because the belly, of course, is that hottest center. There's so much there. The inner child there. There's our gut knowing. Our kinesthetic memory is very, you know, strong there. That gut knowing or that intuition. And it's kind of an area that seems sometimes to be forgotten, you know, or there's a lot of judgment on the belly. So I'm really, you know, glad that we're talking about this, because I think it's such an important, you know, all chakras are important, but this one's about the earth. It really connects us in. Before we dive into to that, I really want to know about you and your first awakening and any succession of awakenings that led you to where you're now and why you're doing what you're doing now.
Well, gosh, that's a $24 question, I think, or $24 million question. I'm doing what I
that's
do now because I just find that it's to do with touch. It's just a fundamental thing of touch. And sometimes when you're touching someone, you're bypassing a whole load of other things. You're bypassing the thought process. For me, it helped me particularly when I've been going through some tough times in my life. Various therapies, particularly massage and all other kinds, have just helped me enormously. And so I wanted to give back something from what I had received. And I really feel that it is a circle. So when I'm working with my client, not only am I giving, but I'm receiving. They teach me so much. And I'm just fascinated by bellies because there is a stigma about a belly, especially in the Western culture. And it is it is an amazing thing. In fact, I think I'd call it the first brain instead of the second brain.
I agree with you.
Know.
That gut knowing, you come in right, you know, that gut knowing. You know, we talk about, you know, all the organs process information, but you're right. I feel that gut, we get that right away. You know, something's not right, or weight, we get a tensing or pulling back. Even before I think the heart does. I know there's a lot of research on the heart as well, you know, that the heart organ speaks to the brain and back, there's a dialogue. But I agree. I think things hit us more in the gut. It's more primal, perhaps.
There's so much research about it now. You know, there's research about, you know, inside, you know, the microbiomes and the mitochondria and all this stuff. And then there's the outside and the vagus nerve and how that affects down. You know, there's just all the science behind it all. But fundamentally, it's just an amazing place on the body, and it's a place that should be celebrated, you know, not I don't know, it's a sort of place of protection for a lot of people. So I know myself, I have held a lot in there, so as it slowly releases, things ease out of the body, and it is wonderful. It's a wonderful form of, I don't know, you can say healing, but a wonderful form of exploring life, really.
Right. Now, you say there's a lot of research. What is the research saying?
The research is saying that you know, just getting in touch with that part of your body. I mean, you know, what we eat obviously has a massive effect. Also, what you're born with, the your gut bacteria can have an effect. And also all the toxins now in the environment have an effect on what goes on in the guts. And all the processed foods and pollution. So it's just a matter of really, you know, finding out for yourself, doing your own exploration and finding out, you know, what suits you, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. But then on the outside, just having massage, any form of massage, but actually if you can have a belly colon massage or whatever, it just can put you in touch with that part of your body and release so much. It's a great form of contact, I think. Mm-hmm. And you just pick up, you can pick up on things. If I'm working on clients, because you've got so much there with, you know, the colon, your small intestines, your large intestines, there's lots of valves, you've got your stomach, your liver, you know, your reproductive organs. I can just pick up on things. So if someone says something to me, if I'm picking up with my hands, it might be something completely different to what they're actually saying. So I can say, well, maybe, just maybe, look at this. And then they can go off on a slightly different tangent.
So you would pick up by what's going on in the gut. You would pick up perhaps what the underlying issue or the real issue is. Or what's really going on? Is it a communication?
I think, you know, if, for instance, if I've got my hand somewhere over where the liver, the main liver organ resides, you can just pick up if there's a bit of anger or frustration out there. And then you can just say to someone, well, maybe, you know, this, have a look at this. Or if you're working around the belly button and slightly below it, there can be a lot of grief or a lot of loss. And I can say, well, maybe just to explore that and see where it takes you. I mean, it's not precise. It's not particular, but it is. It's just a wonderful way of communicating, and a lot of massage just kind of avoids that part of the body.
Yes.
So
it's true. And people do. People are very testy about their, you know, belly. Tamara in the chat is saying she's like a medical intuitive. I agree. You're getting the messages through the physical, what's happening in the physical expression. Now, you talked about grief. Now, explain more of that, because we associate that a lot sometimes with the heart. Heart chakra, heart area. But talk to us a bit about the grief that would be in that belly area and what can we do and how it would be, how's it manifesting there, or why and why?
Well, I don't think any part of the body is particularly separate, but I have known, because I predominantly work with women, that there can be grief about loss of children or loss, all kinds of loss. And if you place your hands on the womb, the uterus area, you can sometimes pick up that there's just an emptiness there. There's a sorrow. There's something there that is just, I don't know, missing. And sometimes it will just bring tears to their eyes because they're just releasing. You know, it's all about constantly releasing. And also, I think, you know, we can come in with grief that we really don't understand what it's about. It can come from goodness knows where, and that can just be held. I mean, sometimes my own belly can just feel like a rock hard thing, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, and just releasing it. You can squidge it, you can belly dance, you can do all those kind of things, but just something to release. I mean, deep breathing yoga is fantastic for it. you know, all these kind of things are just great. But it is, it's just exploring it really yourself and what's it saying and how is it talking to you as an individual?
How's it talking
to
you?
And also, I think, you know, in the world today, there's a lot of stress. And I think we pick it up on all kinds of levels. So when we're out and about, you know, it can be contracting. You know, you might see something that's really abhorrent to you and your belly contracts. So it's just, there's sort of all kinds of levels of grief, really, aren't there?
Absolutely. There's some that have, from such an early time. That is there. Why do you feel there is such issues or judgment around the belly? You know, and what people think is a healthy belly, you know?
I don't think it's so much. I mean, I have traveled a bit. I don't think you find it necessarily in various countries so much in the East.
It's Western.
But
yes,
certainly in
Western.
The Western. And, you know, it's about having a gorgeous, flat, toned belly, you know, and everyone is depicted like that. But I always say to a lot of my clients that the Buddha, you know, just had a nice, smiling belly. And someone called Stephen Levine, who worked a lot with people dying, used to have a wonderful meditation called Soft Belly. And I just think there is something. It doesn't mean that you can't have a hard core. You can have good muscles underneath it, but there needs to be a softening. If there's a softening in your belly, there's kind of a softening in you. And I just think it's something to be celebrated. You know, belly dancers have great bellies usually because that's what they're undulating and moving. So celebrate your belly, you know, enjoy it. Maybe put your hands on it. I mean, I end my massage with some, you know, a hand on the belly, a hand on the heart, and just getting people to touch it because a lot of people don't touch their own bellies that much. So it is, We have, I mean, how many, you know, pictures are bombarded every day of people with toned, flat stomachs?
That becomes the and what people want, that you know, that that's like the holy grail, right?
Yeah, it is. And you know, great, good. That's wonderful. I mean, I see people from size zero to a lot bigger, but it's all the same fundamentally. You know, and it's the center of your being. So, you know, it is something to really connect with. And sometimes we can connect with it ourselves. And sometimes it's just nice to have someone that can work with you and go through it with you. And some of the people I've worked with on, you know, have worked on me myself, have just explored all kinds of things. And it has opened doorways and possibilities and ways of looking at things that maybe I wouldn't have been aware of myself.
Right. We have somebody in the chat saying, love hearing this about the belly. I have had so much trouble with mine and it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I think any part of the body where there's so much judgment and so much, you know, it needs to look this way or be this way, you know, it squelches the life force energy. You know, you're not as comfortable, you know, with it. Now, one thing you said, Susan, that I want to go back to that I find fascinating, because we never, I haven't thought about it this way, and you were talking about the research, you say that even things of the environment affect us, affect our, can you talk about that? Affect the gut?
Yeah, I think, you know, in your environment, you're constantly bombarded by noise, sounds, I don't know, certain pollutions. I mean, that's not particularly my field, but I'm just aware myself that if I am out in a very busy environment, that I can feel what my belly's doing. And also, if there's a lot of stress around you, you know, if people are rushing, like if I'm in the middle of London and it's rush hour and everyone's rushing, you kind of sense that. You can sense it in your belly because there's stress.
Yeah.
People want to get home. They've had a hard day at the office. They want to chill, you know, and they haven't got time for this. They haven't got time for that. And you kind of pick it up on some vibrational level, maybe not
That's
everywhere,
right.
but, you know, somehow you can feel it in your belly. So if you get a chance and you're walking on a desert island beach, I don't think you have quite the same, I don't think it affects you the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your belly does
relax. There is a tightening, you know, can be, you know, when there's stress. Can you speak to that? And what can people do to counterbalance that? We talked about alchemy earlier, so there's a transmutation.
Yeah, I do think just really being aware of your breath. I mean, just really deep breathing, or, you know, chanting, because chanting just, again, just resonates down into your belly. Or sometimes I say to people, just go and have a really good scream, or, you know, go and get in your car and scream and shout, and just so, because it opens everything up and just lets it things out. Otherwise, they can get stored there. You know, I don't know if you've had times when you're very busy and you're doing a lot, you just feel it's kind of tightening up and your digestion doesn't work as well.
That's right. That's right.
Because you know, you're just like, oh, well, I'm busy and I've got to do this and I'm going here and I'm doing that and then I've got to speak to that person. And, you know, it is fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I mean,
it
slightly contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And so self-massage is quite good.
Mm-hmm.
And just enjoying it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Stretching, anything, you know, anything like that is just anything physical.
Mm-hmm.
Takes you out
the
of your head.
Stretching, the self-massage. Take you out of your head. Yes, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I think that the more we're in our head, a lot of times the everything constricts. So, of course, the belly would be constricting also, right?
Yeah, definitely. But I think it's just being aware of it. I think you can feel it. I mean, a lot of people automatically, their shoulders tenses, and they're aware of that. You know, that's a very common thing. But very few people are sort of watching that their belly is contracting. Or if you're in a situation where, you know, someone is angry, you know, it's totally clenched.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone's, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why it would just clench and tighten up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's life. You know, we have to live in the world, and that's life. So it's just a matter of awareness, really, I suppose. Maybe just bringing awareness to this body that we're living in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that, bringing awareness to the body. You know, that I don't know if you heard earlier, but I was talking, I was thinking the more that we do, I find the more we actually awaken, the more enlightened or conscious we are, more we're living in the light, which is also the dark, you know, the dark little edges and corners and insides, the more we're actually embracing of our humanness and our human experience. And of course, within that is the body, you know. I think it's important be in shape, you know, and, you know, healthy and, you know, and look the way that you want to look. But I do feel there is something off if we get too caught up into standards that are
definitely
right, or that are causing more constriction. I don't know if you can speak to that a bit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, well, I totally agree with you. And one of the things I can remember you ever first saying, you know, we are in the body, and you know, we, this is the life we're living. I think there's a fine line between the balance between exercise, good nutrition, health, mm-hmm. and you can mm-hmm. do that. I mean, that is to a certain extent up to you. But then on the other hand, there are, you know, outside circumstances that can come in to your life. You know, you could have something awful happen to you. There could be a massive loss. And those things will yeah. all go out of the window. And then you've just yeah. got to be aware, you know, of what's going on. And, you know, we come in all shapes and sizes. And we come yeah. in all different, you know, colors and ethnic you know, people's
combos.
Some people, yeah, and some people naturally have more fat on their belly, and other
yeah.
people don't. So, you
yeah.
know, you just have to celebrate or appreciate who you are. Maybe not be so harsh on yourself, because I don't think that actually helps, especially, you know, that area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And certain things, especially with women, with hormones and all kinds of things, can happen. And you could be on an amazing fitness regime and you will still have a bit
right.
of a belly.
Yeah.
You know,
you'll have your own.
Okay, you can have surgery, you can have it removed, you can have a tummy tuck, you can have all these things. But
yeah.
if you don't have that, then you just have to, you know, respect and honor what you have, really.
Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to, it's part of you, and I think that goes back to what you're talking about, the standards that people have. I remember, I mean, talking about body types years ago when I was mom, in fact, I don't remember the woman's name, but I will never forget her face, what she was wearing, and the time I was modeling for Neiman Marcus, and I don't know how we were talking about something. And she was very angular, very bony, you know, bigger hips, so very, you know, kind of thinner, like skinny looking, yes, you know, legs.
Yeah.
And we were talking and she said, "Oh, Michelle," she goes, "No," she goes, you're very thin." And I said, "Oh, no, I'm more." And she goes, "No, you're round." She goes, "You have a rounder." She goes, "You don't have wide hips like I do." She goes, "It doesn't matter how much you work out, you're never going to be bony." She goes, "That's not your bone structure." And it hit me, and we had to talk about it. And I said, "Oh, my God, so many, you know, women, young girls look at something." She goes, "I know." And she goes, "They try to attain a body type that is not theirs." And she said, "Look, size
no.
4, size 6, on somebody is going to look one way, and on somebody else that has a different body type." And I think, Susan, to your point, just like anything else, I think with our soul gifts, I feel like on some level the socialization process teaches people in general, and especially women, not necessarily to look at themselves, but to look at themselves through a filtering, you know, through a type.
Yeah. Yep.
So they're
yep.
not right. So they're never even, like when she told me this, I mean, I listening to it now, it probably sounds very silly, but I, even as awake and aware as I, you know, was even at that time, I didn't even realize I was, and I wasn't really judged. I wasn't a negative. I, you know, it wasn't like a negative perception on myself, but it showed me how skewed my perception was that I didn't even recognize. And it was so funny because she stood and we stood together, you know, and she's like, "Look how my hips go out more and my bones." She goes, "I'm very angular." And I'm looking at her and I'm like, I'm thinking, "Oh my God, yes, I see it." You know, and she's like, she goes,
yeah.
"It doesn't matter. No matter what, I'm going to have this no matter what I do. And you're going to have what you have." She goes, unless you, you know, redid your, you know, skeletal system. And I thought, wow, that,
yes.
I mean, what a metaphor, right? What a metaphor for life is if you're not really
it is,
seeing things
and,
as
you
they
know,
are.
I have really worked with some, I mean, I've worked with, they're all fantastic, but I've worked with some really beautiful women. And how they see themselves just makes me always almost want to cry. you know, they are size 4, size 6, and they don't see themselves like that. And they come in and they say,
exactly.
You know, I'm bloated, and I'm going, where? I can't find it. You know, and I'm just saying, but you're not. You know, look at this. You know, you are a beautiful person, and it's not how you perceive yourself. Because you're constantly judging yourself from the outside. You're not seeing you for who you are. So,
right.
I mean, I suppose, you know, I'm older, so, you know, I can laugh a bit more at myself. I'm sure when I was younger, I was exactly the same. But, I think there's a lot
of pressure. I don't think it has anything to add. I know women, you know, around my age and, you know, and older that have the same issue. And some that are younger. I think it's if you fall, you know, it's an awareness. And I think things like you getting out there, your message is, you know, stop and feel, stop and, you know, really look, because you're right. The filtering, you know, and it's, and it also makes common sense. It's like, okay, well, you're not, you know, like somebody, you're 5'2", you're 5'6", you're not going to be 5'10". That's just, okay, you're not going to be 6 foot.
Yeah.
So I mean, but it is that absurd,
and I
think again, it's that right. It's that filtering. It's that now, Susan. I would ask you, from all you know, your life experience and experience as this, you know, this service you're doing as a practitioner, healing and massage practitioner. What would you suggest to people to be able to see more clear, and I almost feel more clearly and see more clearly. Right?
Gosh, that's quite a big question, but it is just really about feeling your belly from the inside out and the outside in, getting in touch with it, but just saying, you know, almost a sort of mantra, you know, I love who I am. My imperfections and all, I love who I am. I mean, who's perfect? Who is perfect? You know, who's perfect in the whole universe that we know? You know, everyone is unique and different and special, and they all have amazing bellies as far as I'm concerned, really. You know.
You're the belly whisperer. Susan, you're the belly whisperer.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just, you know, I just feel that it is sad that well, you know, it's just part of life as it is in the West, but it is overlooked. It's not touched very often. You know, get it out there, shake it all about. You know, some are perfect, some are imperfect, but who judges that? Who judges that perfection? You know, and we're usually very tough on ourselves. So, you know. It's not easy out there. And I think for women, but also I think for men too. I think there's quite a lot of pressure on men to have a certain six pack, and it doesn't always work.
Yes.
Doesn't always happen.
Yes. And no, it doesn't. No, no. And I learned there's a six pack and there's an eight pack. It's even more extreme. Yes, I was corrected a couple of years ago. Oh, they have an eight pack. I'm like, ooh. And then I'm like, how do you tell me? Count the ripple. And I'm like, you're right. There's eight there. Okay, I stand corrected. So, I have a one pack. I'm packed in.
Yeah. Well, I just have a wobble, so I'm quite, you know, it's fine. It's fine. But, you know, it's a wonderful form. I mean, I think over in the States, there's something called Mayan abdominal massage, and I highly recommend it to anyone.
Oh, what is it called now? What's it
you
called?
Know, wants. It's called Mayan abdominal massage.
Mayan abdominal massage, okay.
Yes. Yeah. And it's I think, you know, it's a great form, and for me myself, it has been a great way to get in touch. I'm really privileged to have the clients that I do, and I enjoy it immensely. It you know, it is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, so much is, you know, you talked about it, the intuition through the body wisdom, that gut knowing, gut feeling. It's the, I always say it's also the wounded, you know, the inner child. There's a lot of, in that center, you know,
yeah,
can be wounding. Or like when people say something mean, you feel it in the gut, you pull back, or you get nauseous. There's so much, so many messages, but mixed in that is our intuition through that aspect of our being, that part of our body, you know, and our empowerment, our hottest sense. So I feel like if you can't make peace with that part of you, whatever shape and form it's taking, then you're blocking yourself, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think it is. I mean, you used the word intuition. It is the intuition. The intuition, it's a knowing. There is a knowing there. It doesn't manifest necessarily in words, but there is a knowing. So it does, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, it conveys everything, you know, what you say, the soul is willing to express. But often we mm-hmm. overlook it, or the mind comes in, or the thoughts come in, and we go off on different tangents when it's actually, it's not being heard. So then it will maybe knock a little bit louder the next time. I mean, this is my experience. Mm-hmm. It does want to be heard. You know, there's a knowing. There's an innate knowing there. And and it will just keep knocking. Keep knocking.
It will keep.
And,
it will.
Yeah. Yeah. It does, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, your gut reaction if you meet someone is pretty spot on in my experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that. The gut reaction. Boy, that's true. It's learning to, you know, we talked about this earlier with intuition. It's learning to listen to that part and to trust it. It's a very good.
Yeah. Well, it takes quite a lot, I think. I mean, you know, especially in our society. But I think if we were more trusting of it, I think there'd be a sort of more direct communication, a more honest communication, maybe, instead of
mm-hmm.
all the words that sort of the layers of words that get piled on.
Right.
Is, yeah. It,
now
it's quite.
Susan, we're winding down here. Is oh yeah, Denise is putting in the chat. Yes, the idea of gut brain is getting more out there. Yeah, well, it's so, I can't believe that people don't, it's so common sense. I mean, even people that don't consider themselves intuitive, you know, over the years I worked with a lot of traders, and they would always say, I trust my gut. Even if they were doing a trade on a company that they did all the fundamentals, you know, all the due diligence on, and, you know, did, they would say, at the end of the day, it's all of that, but I listen to my gut. You know, and every business person has ever said that. I just had a gut feeling about this. I knew this was, I had a gut feeling this was going to take off. And, so I'm just, it's interesting that it does, it's like, that is an important part, you know, of our being.
It is. It is a very important part. And it's there. It's just with us. It's us. It's who we are. It's life.
Yeah.
It's life as it is. It's just
right.
Listening, isn't it? Just
listening,
really. Yeah.
So how can people get in touch with you, Susan? What's the best way that people can get in touch with you? I know Tamara put in the chat. Oh, here we go. SusanDeMonk.co.uk. Is that the best website?
Yeah, that's a website, or there's just email is easy, because obviously
it's email.
I'm over here in the UK, and you're over there in the US of A. So,
yeah. But we have a lot of listeners. We have a lot of,
yeah.
A lot of listeners all over. So in the UK, so what's the email?
It's SusanDem@gmail.com. It's on my website.
Oh, it is. Okay. All right. SusanDemonk.co.uk, and that's SusanDemU. YNCK.co.uk for those that are listening later.
That's
that right?
Correct. Yeah,
great.
That's right, Michelle.
Yay! Well, so good to connect with you and have you on the program. I'm great hearing your voice.
Yeah, it's great to connect with you too.
All right.
Lovely.
Big hugs. Talk to
Thank
you, later.
You.
Bye.
And
You're
you.
Welcome. Bye. All right. So for more information, you can go to susandemunk.co.uk, and that's SusandeMunk.co.uk. Why do I repeat? Because I love you. And I know most of you are listening by iTunes, and you're probably, some of you are driving. That's the messages that I get from you. Listening while I'm driving, listening while I'm on my bike, listening at the gym, on the life cycle. Got an email the other day with someone listening while they were boxing. So I guess it must have been just practice boxing. Anyway, always great to connect with all of you. Have a great, great rest of your day. And, of course, have an amazing week. I'm here next Wednesday. Love doing the readings. Love, love, love them. So call back next week if you didn't happen to get your question answered. Love to tune in for you all. And those of you that you did get in, thanks for persevering. You all helped co-create the show. And, of course, big hug to all of you in the chat for grounding the energy and co-creating this experience. Love and light to all of you. And until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.